You see a lot of that in the teachings of James. James is called the Lord's brother. And no one else is called. He is actually his, you know, half brother, however you want to say. I know, you know, I have half brothers and sisters. I never really thought of them as being like half, you know. But he's it never says in the Bible he was Jesus' half brother. He was Jesus' brother. Same mother or same father, it makes someone a brother, you know. In any case, you know, he says, let the brother of low degree, you know, someone humble means even, you know, rejoice in that you are exalted. In the gospel, the poor are exalted. Now, what people say, well, if I'm exalted, then how come I'm still poor? It's not exalted in the earth. It's because it's virtuous to be without. You know, it's virtuous. That's why fasting is a virtue. You know, it's a virtuous thing to deny yourself. The poor are exalted in that, you know, like Jesus said to people, sell all you have and come and follow me. Well, the poor already got that covered. Jesus said, you know, the poor you have always with you, but me you do not always have. Now the rich is to rejoice in that he is made low. This goes back to if, you know, and sometimes it's going to be rejoice in afflictions, rejoice in temptations. Why? Because that's what the gospel is. We are being conformed to Christ. The rich rejoice. Paul said the rich should learn to distribute. That's what they should learn to do, is to distribute their money. Not to hang on to it, but to give. He has, and he will rejoice in that he is doing that, making himself lowly, in divesting himself of money. You know, I to me, as a poor person, I don't, it's hard for me to love the rich and say to them, you need to divest yourself of money. Because you feel, because it's sort of anti-American, you know, that everyone's supposed to go after their own and look after their self-interest, so on and so forth. And there's a lot of people out there who want your money. I don't want your money. But I'm telling you in Christ that lowering yourself as far as on the scale of possessions and income is something that to rejoice over. And you know what? As the flower of grass, you will pass away. Your riches are not going to last forever. And certainly your enjoyment of them and them being at your disposal is a very temporary arrangement anyways. You know, I talk about profiting. You know, a lot of people in this world know how to profit in the world. I've been bad at it. I've been bad at it. I enjoy laboring. I went to the university as a pre-law student and did not apply myself at all. Anyone who knew me, and I was barely known because I spent most of my time in my dorm room, but they know Paul didn't study. He was mostly involved in drugs and alcohol. He was mostly involved in playing video games. Though they didn't know, I also read a lot. And in that time, I started to pick up the Bible. But in education, I had little interest in the education the world was offering. That I could get some, you know, become a lawyer, doctor. I was actually a political science major. So I'm looking after doing all these things. None of them appeal to me. But those of you who do, who have profit in the world, you are driven. I was not driven. I was driven to profit in the Word. And it's funny, I spent a lot of time trying to profit in the world, but got very little profit until the Spirit of God entered into me. And then all the work I had done, just, I think, and not to exalt myself at all, not beyond measure, certainly, but as the Apostle Paul had studied, and he was profiting in the Jews' religion, I profited in my religion. I looked at Christianity as sort of an intellectual pursuit, you know, of knowledge and understanding. And so I pursued it as such. And I profited in that. I gained a lot of head knowledge. But really, all that stuff, it didn't really profit me until the Spirit came in. It quickened my understanding. So then all of a sudden, 10 years of study were radically altered and transformed. But in a very good way, it wasn't as though all that time had been wasted. Though during the time, it's sort of like working in a field, planting things. You don't really see anything come of it. I mean, you're sweating, you're toiling, you're working, and not really much happened. And the reason I'm saying this is because if you really want to profit in godliness, profit in things that are going to last forever. That's why Jesus talks about giving away our money, because it is in giving and denying our own self-interest that we profit in godliness, and then we profit in things to come. You know, the treasure we have in heaven isn't gold and silver, but it is an internal inheritance which no man takes away. That we could be partakers of the divine nature, that God would call us son, and that Jesus would call to us brother, friend, and all that entails. Oh, the things God has prepared for them that love him. Beyond human understanding, many of them. Many of them are beyond human understanding. I know this is a major diversion. No, it's not really a major diversion. We're talking about, James is alluding to the book of Isaiah when in verse 6 of chapter 40 he says, all flesh is as grass and the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The reason I'm saying this about profiting and the things of the world to come, because the things of this earth are going to pass away. And when we deny ourselves and our self-interest in the things of earth, we're profiting in something greater. And also, even now on this earth, we're profiting. But we're not profiting of the things of earth. We're profiting of the things of heaven while on earth. And so we begin to taste what heaven is like. Quote unquote heaven, the kingdom of heaven. I'd rather call it the kingdom of heaven because I never think of it in terms of I'm going to heaven. I think of I'm going to inherit eternal life. And the kingdom of heaven is going to come to the earth, and I'm going to rule on the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. But then comes the eternity. And what then? Consider this in a science, and I usually don't, whatever, I'm just going to say this. Mathematically speaking, mathematics is science falsely so called. Meaning, it's a knowledge, right? But it is not the knowledge that is going to lead you to salvation. But let me use it for a moment to be instructive in the realm of